This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Singer-songwriter Blue O'Connell, who describes herself as profoundly deaf, uses a cochlear implant. What we're listening to is the title track from her first CD, Choose the Sky.
Sometimes we need a little space. Choose the sky. Choose the sky. It's bigger than you. Take in the view.
Blue O'Connell's story is one of determination, humor, denial, and flat-out stubbornness. This woman was bound and determined to be a musician, and gathering deafness wasn't going to stop her.
So if you need a little space, choose the sky, choose the sky. The sun will know if you do.
I'm 52 now. When I was around 25 years old, I lived in Chicago at this time, and across the street from me was a really good friend of mine who was a composer, and he invited me over to hear his latest piece on the electronic piano. So I was waiting for him to play the piece, and it seemed like a long time went by, and I finally said, "Now, when are you going to play me that piece of music?" And he said, "I just did. Didn't you hear it?" I said, "No, I didn't hear anything." And so he said, "Oh my God, you're going to have to get your ears checked. You can't hear this." And he pressed his fingers on the keyboard and he would say, "Do you hear this? Do you hear this?" And I could hear that his finger was making contact with something, but I didn't hear a note.
Were you a musician yourself at the time?
At the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. I started when I was about 13. I was a drummer in high school. And then when I was about 16, I took up the guitar. I was told that I had a hearing loss in high school when they checked my hearing but I didn't tell my parents that, and I didn't think anything of it, and nobody said anything. And if I answer wrong or if I'm in a class and no one corrects me, I didn't know that I was misunderstanding. Now I could look back and watch movies that have captions that I saw as a child, and I said, "Oh my God, I didn't know they were saying that."
But this time at 25, with your friend, with his new piece of music, is the first time you were really aware that it was bad.
Yeah, around that time, I was ill with mono about a couple of years before. I remember I had a very severe fever. And it was after that that I started working in a restaurant, and people would say, "You know, unless I'm looking at you, you don't hear me."
So you were reading lips.
Yeah, I was always really good at that. And I will say, when I worked in a restaurant, I only made one mistake because people tend to point at the menu. Mm-hmm. "I want this, I want that." Mm-hmm. And so I would just watch that. And
you were compensating.
Yeah, all the time I was, and I never really realized it. But at that time, at 25, I got my first hearing aid. And then years passed, and...
Wait a minute. Back up just a little bit. At 25, when you got your hearing aid, had your hearing at all affected how you played music?
You know, it really didn't. I always played, and I always could hear music. The type of loss I had really affected my ability to discern speech the most. So,
why is that?
There was something about what they call a ski slope hearing loss, and that is where, if I was in an environment with a lot of background noise, the background noise would drown out the voices, and voices tend to be in a mid-range, and that's where a lot of the loss I have is. But mm-hmm. We could be in a crowded restaurant, and I would hear, "Oh, I love this song," and my friends would say, "I don't even hear that. How could you hear that?"
So you were hearing upper and lower registers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, you got your first hearing aid at 25,
mm-hmm.
and did that fix the problem, address the problem? I guess it didn't fix it.
Well, for a long time, that helped. And then some years later, I upgraded to a different hearing aid, and they wanted me to get another one for my other ear, and I was furious. I was like, "No way am I going to wear it." And they said, "Really, your other ear was almost as bad." I said, "No, it isn't. I refuse to believe it."
You would be the stubborn girl. Where did that come from?
I said, they don't know what I'm capable of. I can function without this. And I just felt that it would classify me as disabled, which to me would say you can't do what you want to do because this limitation prevents you from doing it. And I thought, I'm not disabled in that sense. I might be challenged, but you can't tell me what I can do and what I can't do.
When was this?
I think it was when I came to Charlottesville. It was around 1989.
So you're going along with your one hear, with your
yeah.
one hearing aid, and then what happened?
Well, I started working as a peer advocate at a center for independent living with other disabled people. But I always thought, well, I'm not one of them. I just work with them. I just never really saw myself like that. Disabled to the sense like I have to stay home and get SSI and I can't have a real job and all that. I guess I thought once I did that, then I will no longer be able to be what I wanted to be.
What did you want to be?
A musician.
A musician.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there involvement with your speech? Do I hear a slight lisp?
Yes, actually, it was a lot worse before I got my cochlear implant.
Uh-huh.
I've actually noticed that when I say words that have S in it, just now I said it.
Yes.
Sometimes I have a lisp, but it used to be very, very pronounced. But it wasn't until I was in my early 30s that I really knew I had a lisp or that I had a speech impediment. I didn't know that either.
And it was from hearing? It was connected with your hearing?
I think so, because S's are a high-pitched sound. That kind of sound mm-hmm. is a high pitch. And so I couldn't hear that sound. And then I was in a play and I was rehearsing my lines in the mirror. And then I saw when I said, yes, yes, that my tongue, you know, I saw what I did. And I said, how come nobody told me this, that I talk this way? I didn't know.
Okay. Well, you're going along with your hearing aid. And what changed? And when did the cochlear implant come on the scene?
This was 2009, and what happened was, since I've lived in Charlottesville over 20 years, most of my friends knew how to talk to me, so, you know, they would be facing me or something. So I had a new friend in my life who was very frustrated when I didn't understand her, which was frequently. So she would get angry at me at times because I didn't understand. And see, other friends didn't do that. If I heard something and said something that wasn't appropriate to what they asked, they just wouldn't say, you know, that's not what
they
I asked
give you.
You
a pass.
But she would say, I didn't say that. And she would tell me over and over. And I realized I do have a problem. I'm communicating with people. And we would go someplace for dinner, let's say for a slice of pizza. And the counter person would say something, oh, yeah, it is a nice day. And they'd look at me like, yeah, what are you on, you know? And she would say, that's not what they said. She was a teacher, so she could never just listen to that and not correct me.
Do you see that as a kindness, looking back?
Yes. I mean, it was hard for me, but it was also, I was in denial, really, was what it was. And mm-hmm. like I said, oh, I don't need that second hearing aid, and they don't know what I'm capable of. And the fact was, I did need it, because I wasn't communicating with people.
Wow.
But even that didn't sell me. I said, no, I can read her mind. You know, I don't need this. And so I visited a friend of mine who I used to work with at the Independent Living Center, who was deaf. I mean, deafer than me, where his family always spoke to him in sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a cochlear implant. So I visited him, and he had the cochlear implant. And nobody was speaking in sign language to him. In all situations, he was able to function like a regular person.
He functioned like a person.
Like
with
a hearing person.
Because he
and
was a
I
hearing
saw
person.
That. Yeah, I saw that. But then one time, you know, I was practicing my sign language and everything. And I finally asked, well, why is nobody speaking in sign language anymore? And they said, because David can hear. And
wow.
It really hit me. And I decided, okay, I'm going to get it.
Now, what is a cochlear implant?
Yeah, what it is, this is a electronic device that it translates the hearing signals to the nerve. It bypasses the bad part of the ear.
Mm-hmm.
It sends it to a digital processor, which is what you see on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it digitizes the information. It sends it to the hearing nerve. So I'm really hearing with my brain instead of my ear. People think when you get a cochlear implant, and for some it works this way, where you turn it on and then all of a sudden you hear perfectly. Mm-hmm. And that has happened with some people, depending on what type of loss they are. But other people like me had to work for months and months to get it back, too.
Now, you come home with your cochlear implant. What were you hearing?
Oh, it was when they activated, that was what they say. They turned it on, and there was some kind of humming sound in the room. It was some kind of vent, like the air conditioning or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like a helicopter. It was like this whole, I mean, to what I was hearing. I was like, what is that? You guys could sit there talking like nothing when that noise is going on? To me, it was just huge. And then they turned on the water. How about this? I was like, whoosh. I was like,
so
oh
this
my
was
God.
Hopefully in a controlled environment where professionals were doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were the audiologists were doing
okay.
it to see. My shock. They were enjoying themselves too about that. And then I went home and, you know, it was hard because when I worked at an office, I would go into the break room and there would be a microwave, a toaster oven, two Coke machines, the coffee pot, people washing dishes, and people talking. And it was like, oh my, you know. People who have regular hearing, they walk in a room like that and they already know how to prioritize sound. And they could have a conversation and it's not like they hear all these sounds equally. But I had to train myself to do that. Over time, I became used to the amount of stimulation I was getting. But in the beginning, it was like, you know, going from a world that volume 0 to volume 20 all of a sudden, you know. And so I had to get used to the level of stimulation. And there's also cochlear different programs.
Mm-hmm.
On my implant, I have a speech processor. And when I take it off, it looks kind of like a hearing aid. And it plugs in, part of it plugs into a computer. And the audiologist programs it.
How do you, so you can take this off your head and you flip switches on it?
Yeah, you could switch it off. Uh-huh.
Okay. So you can have peace and quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you can go back to your challenged hearing state, which must have felt very comforting at the beginning when this enormous amount of noise was going on in your head. Did you need some downtime?
Yeah, definitely. And now I have two cats, and one of my cats, he always cried when he wanted something. And I could see his body, like with all the force of his body, moving when he makes the cry, but I never could hear him. And then when I came home with the implant, I was in the other room, I could hear something. And it was him crying. I had never heard him cry.
Never heard him cry.
He cries so loud, I can't believe that I didn't hear it. But I think he cried that way because I couldn't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And he yells and cries with all his whole body. And I used to laugh at him. I said, keep going, you know. Maybe I'll give you a treat if I can hear you, you know. And now I say, I don't believe I couldn't hear him.
What has this adventure with hearing loss been like for you as a musician?
Well, you know, it's been great because
great.
As well as my, yeah, because as well as my cochlear implant, I have a new hearing aid in my other ear, and it's a digital hearing aid. And with both of them, before with my hearing challenge, I could hear up to about the 7th fret and getting higher than that. I think because I know how to read music and I know music, I know how it's supposed to sound in my head. But that's how Beethoven did it. You know, Beethoven, he couldn't hear from the outside in, but he could hear on the inside. And so he knew what was coming out because he could read the notation. People always say, well, how could he do that? Because he knew music and his brain could hear it in his head. And that's what I can do. But I couldn't hear real high notes on the guitar. And I remember when I finally was able to, it was like a miracle. I remember I went to bed that night, the day I heard all the notes, and I was reflecting back on the day and how amazing that was. And I thought, maybe I was imagining that. And I got up out of the bed and I put my hearing gear back on and I went down the stairs and I plucked all the strings together and I said, nope, it's true. It's like lots of times as we get older, we often lose something. But, you know, to regain my hearing as a person in her early 50s, it's pretty amazing.
Would you honor us by doing one of the songs from the CD?
Yeah, that would be great.
Tell us about where it came from and whatever you want to say about it.
All right. I know what I'll do. I'll do the one, it's called To Belong, and the reason I picked this one is because we have been talking so much about having a disability, and last year I was hired to play at a disability conference, and I never really wrote a song that spoke from a disability perspective. And so I wrote this song about what it means to be seen as limited.
There's a feeling that I get sometimes when no one understands me. They only see what limits me, but I am so much more than what appears to be. Something called a disability, and I know there's a place somewhere where I belong.
You'll find a link to Blue O'Connell's website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
You may think it's hard to be like me, a little outside of society, but we're more the same than you may know. Here to love and grow, and I know there's a place where even I can belong. It's somewhere inside, somewhere. It's a feeling that I get sometimes when people understand me. It's a feeling that we've met before somewhere long ago, and I know that I found somewhere I can belong. It's here in this song, it's here being with you.
Break with Bob Levicky's invitation to check this out, and my conversation with Henry McHenry from Albemarle County, who's passionate about substitute teaching.